Open the door to huge savings now at Menards. Enhance the appearance of your home with a new stylish garage door. Choose from our large in-stock selection of ideal garage doors or design your own using our free garage door designer in-store or on Menards.com. Save big and ideal garage doors. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
How about weight gain, muscle loss, even brain fog? You may have low testosterone. Game Day Men's Health are the experts in testosterone replacement therapy, ED, and weight management strategies. They can help you get back to feeling and performing better. With 5 locations, 15 more on the way, book a free testosterone test today at GameDayMen'sHealth.com. That's GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
Have you ever met a single person in your life that enjoys paying taxes? No, no one does. If you can't sleep at night because you have a huge problem with the IRS, I've got some free advice for you. This service is strictly limited to individuals that owe the IRS $10,000 or more in back taxes. And if you qualify, we can guarantee that you won't be writing a big fat check to the IRS or our services cost you nothing. The first 100 people that call today will get a free tax consultation worth $500. Stop worrying about your IRS problem. We can help you, we promise. Call the tax doctor right now. I mean right now to learn more.
800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. 800-240-4587. That's 800-240-4587.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds. From regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Built with commercial grade materials that stand up to Houston weather, get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube. This is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zada Jewelers.
KFNC 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Don't sweat the technique.
You're listening to The Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios.
All right, Cam Smith. Did the Astros get it right? I think this is the last time you can have this conversation, really, because this would have been the line of demarcation somewhere around this time when you would have called up Cam Smith because you were able to gain that extra year of club control. And I've been happy with Cam Smith. Like, don't get me wrong. I'm very bullish on his future. I think the power is to come. He's been way better in right field than anybody could have imagined. He's a very good athlete. Like, he is going to be a very good baseball player and has already been a solid baseball player. So don't get it twisted. But would I have rather had these 51 games of Cam hitting .246 with a below average bat, or would I rather have Cam Smith for an extra year in 2031? And I know it's hard to, like, look that far in advance, but I always point to George Springer. Like, would you have rather had a full season of George Springer in 2014 when the Astros lost 90-something games? Or would you rather have George Springer on a team that went to the ALCS and was a game away from getting to another World Series? Now, it's not an apples-to-apples comp because the Astros are good this year and they weren't good in 2014, but it's still enough for me to rather have the extra year of Cam than the first 51 games of Cam. And he's been solid. He's been fine. But he hasn't been this world beater that has changed the complexion of the team. He's been batting in the bottom of the order, below average bat. We like what we see. We're hopeful about his future, but not worth, in my opinion, the extra year of service in 2031.
And that's fair. Like, the Springer example is a good one. And I loved what George Springer brought to this team when they were just getting this golden era started and all the things that he was able to do. And another year of him would have been outstanding. And you're absolutely right from that regard. And every situation is different. And you're right. I can't predict the future. I would hope that if he continues to blossom and grow and show that he was you know, rightfully the centerpiece of this trade that's going to be a big part of the future, that they'll try and do something before it's time. But in the meantime, there's no argument for me that you can make a hell of a case that it was better to let him sit until now.
And the other thing, too, like if we expect him to blossom and become a really good player, do you want an extra year of a really good player, or do you want it as it blossoms? Like, do you want a rose whenever it's blossomed for the maximum amount of time, or do you want a rose whenever it hasn't blossomed yet but it's going to in the future? Ask yourself that. I think it's a little romantic of me. 713-780-ESPN. Todd, the show. I wonder if they would have played Cam at third in the minors and he wouldn't have become as good as he is in right. I doubt that. I mean, you can't say for sure because it didn't happen. But I believe that the Astros would have saw the path to the bigs was him playing right field. Like, okay, we see Isak Paredes. Isak Paredes is doing great things. If Cam Smith is going to be a big leaguer this year, it's going to have to be in the outfield. And plus, they already started doing it at spring training. Mm-hmm. So, like, they didn't have to say, okay, Cam, you're making the team. So I think that the move to right field would have happened regardless. And I think you can use spring training as the example as to, yeah, he would have played right field.
I honestly think you and I had the conversation really, really early in the process, whether I don't know if it was he was already taking reps in the outfield or not. But we just looked at his body type and said, that's a really, really big kid to think about him playing consistent Major League Baseball on the infield. I, for one, said I looked at him and I go, I mean, he just doesn't look the part of an agile third baseman when you start talking about what kind of defense you expect out of a third baseman in Major League Baseball. Now, and the bat will translate to many different places on the infield and the out. He could be a first baseman. He could be a corner outfielder. But, yeah, I mean, I think you and I were talking about that pretty early on, that he probably wasn't, for the long haul, going to be a third baseman.
No. Not with Isak. Like, they have Isak as – I believe they actually felt like Isak was part of their long-term plans, too, especially after they signed Walker, because they have a few years of club control. On the Twitch, 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Todd, the show, says, I think he brings a little energy to the dugout that they definitely need. I don't disagree with Todd's point. I do think that Cam brings some energy to the Astros, some youthful energy and bounce. But do I think the Astros' record would be any different if they didn't have the energy? Maybe a game or two.
I know that, you know, when you reference all the mound visits and stuff. Yeah, I love the fact that when he gets a big hit in Cleveland on Sunday, that, you know, he pop slides and comes up screaming and yelling and he's all juiced up with excitement. That's great. But it's really just about, you know, his career, his ability. And if you believe, like, he is going to be better and better and better by the time this contract is up, then it's plausible to say that they should have waited. It's just that I just thought that their outfield was in such disarray that at least he brought some stability, and the fact that he has been able to take to right field so quickly defensively has helped me to be on the side of I'm okay with them bringing him up and doing this before it was too, you know, before it was time.
713-780-ESPN. Eric Branham must have had a good dream about Israel last night and wanted to get him on the phone. Let's head out to the HRMP listener line. Israel, you're in the Hive with the Bees. What's up, Israel?
What's up? First of all, I'm going to shout out Dana. Dana got two starters and a starting pitcher, but he got hurt for Tucker. That was outstanding. First, let's start right there. Cam forced his hand for performance in preseason, before, you know, in preseason. But look, first of all, let's talk about this season. He's going past the expectations because he was not supposed to even be in the majors. Not only he's in the majors, I know you know what the WAR means, right? You say the other guy positive, what, 0.3? And ain't no 1.1? He on a whole nother, he went to, he's an athlete. No. To go to third base, go to outfield, right field, a position you never played, and have no errors, when all everybody, oh, the outfield is going to be this, and the outfield is one of the best in the majors right now. Cam is doing, he's past expectations. They did not get him to be a power hitter, number 3, 4, 5, or 6 in the batting lineup. He's been batting 9th and 8th. 246 is not bad. But what it is, he can the walks. You talked about his walks like it's something negative. He can see the ball. He's hitting the doubles. And another thing, he get key hits to tie the game. And also, even if they don't win the game, he ties up the game a lot. He get key hits in crucial situations. He got it, bro. And what's going to happen, they ain't going to go to the end. They're going to extend him in the second or third year. He's going to be a star. He's going to, matter of fact, it's going to be his team in two, with next year, it's going to be his team. He's going to be the star because of his enthusiasm, and he got the energy that they need. And that's just it. And
Israel,
we're going to see.
Israel, good points. Great points. Let me ask you something real quick. Would you because Cam Smith is going to be great, and it's going to be his team in a couple of years, would you rather have 51 games of Cam when he's a baby, or would you rather have 160 whenever it's his team and he's dominant?
I want Cam to actually retire as an Astro. I want them to extend his contract.
That's the question. Right, hang up on Israel.
Yes, I want to retire an Astro.
Ryan, hang up on him.
Ryan didn't believe me. He's like, we hang up on callers? Yeah, we hang up on callers. Whenever Israel does not answer the question, we hang up on callers. And Israel's bringing up the extension thing. That is the unknown. Like, I agree with Israel, and I agree with you. Like, if they sign him to a long-term extension, which this is the Astros, how likely is that? I mean, guys have signed early, but if he gets anywhere close to free agency, he's gone. But the extension's the unknown, so I don't think it's fair to use it to either side of the argument. I will concede if they sign Cam Smith to an extension, then this entire conversation's a moot point. But are the Astros more likely to sign him or more likely to not sign him? If he's good. Like,
see,
probably
again,
not.
And again, the you're right from past precedents, and then you also look at it, and Dana Brown was involved with Atlanta, though he wasn't the decision maker in trying to get guys wrapped up before they got to that point. But again, like you said, we don't know what we don't know. I hope that if he is all that and everything that Israel thinks he already is, that they do try and do that, and that he is amicable and open to it, and that it's possible to do it. Because otherwise, you're right. I mean, in your scenario, it could be a really, really bad day for all of the Houston Astros and their fans if he ends up getting away in the prime of his career a year too early.
And I think that's why you can't use it on one side or the other. Like, we could argue, is it more likely that he will sign or more likely that he won't sign? I think that it's probably more likely that he won't sign, but let's just eliminate that from this conversation because it is an unknown. As far as the walks, I don't view walks as a negative. I view anything as not getting out as a positive, so I'm not going to allow you to say that kind of lie. It's great that he walks. It's great that he gets on base. That's not a negative at all. The war conversation. I'm not sure Israel knew what it meant. It's wins above replacement players. Like, the just any player that you pluck from the street, how many wins is the guy getting over that guy? What's Cam Smith's? I said it at the start. It's 1.1. So Cam Smith is worth one win over the average replacement player. So, again, I'll ask, is one win from Cam Smith in his first 51 games worth blowing an entire year for a guy who Israel said is going to put this team on his back in a couple of years? Of course it's not.
Right, and when you think about it, too, from just the sake of the, for the sake of the discussion, with DeCenzo playing so well until he got hurt, is it plausible to think that if Zach DeCenzo, which they turned into an outfielder this year as well, Is it fair to think that if DeCenzo got the same opportunity at the same position that he could do close to the same thing that Cam has done to this point?
I think he could.
I do too.
But even if he, but even let's just give Cam the win though. Let's say that Cam is worth more than is worth one win more than DeCenzo, because that's what their wars are. Cam's at a 1.1, DeCenzo is at a 0.2, but he doesn't have the at bats.
Right.
But let's just call it what it. Let's just not introduce anything else to the argument. Cam is 1.1 win, DeCenzo's 0.2 win. So let's just round up. Cam Smith is worth one more win than playing Zach DeCenzo in right field the first 60 something games of the year. Is that one win when you lead the division by three worth blowing a year of service when the guy's going to be in his prime? I think it's an easy no.
Right,
easy no.
It's one thing to have the discussion from a production standpoint. It's another financially when you think about what you'd have to pay him for that 1 year if you do have to sign him to a new deal in order to retain his services. And the other thing I was going to say to Israel while he was saying all that is, where's Yordan going to be in the next couple of years?
I mean, he's got to – you mean help-wise?
I'm saying if this is going to be Cam's team and Cam's going to be the best
– counterpoint.
Then where's Yordan going to be? Because I still firmly believe
there's a very
it's going to be
answer.
Yordan's team.
There's a very easy answer here, though.
Which is?
On the IL.
On the injured list, yeah.
Yordan's going to be – he's going to be firmly planted on the injured list. No, but I mean, I think Israel's point, though, about Cam being great actually validates my argument, Because if he's going to be so great in 2 to 3 years, that's when you want the extra year. And again, we're not dismissing Cam Smith from the 2025 team. We would be bringing up Cam Smith today. He'd be on his way up right now. We would just have missed out in his first 51 games as a big leaguer, 60-something games for the Astros.
Yeah, no, I mean, what it really comes down to, right, is the fact that Israel is basically making your argument better, because the fact that if he's going to be a better player for the length of his career, if he's going to be a better player in his prime at the end of that, you hope to God that he signs him. They lock him down before you get to that point.
I mean, I've told you what I would have done if I were Dana. I would have, hey, Cam, do you want to be a big leaguer on opening day? Here's a team-friendly contract for you to sign. Oh, you don't want to sign it? I hope you enjoy living in Sugarland. If you really want to threaten him, go live in Corpus.
Yeah, you make a deal like Milwaukee and Tampa and teams like that do, because they see the potential. They know what they're hoping you turn out to be, but they're also trying to do what's best for an organization, that if you just want to put a monetary value on it, and I'm talking about right now's rates as opposed to when you actually get to the point that Cam Smith could get that year and hit the market a year early, it's probably upwards of $50, $60 million a year.
Yeah.
Just if it just keeps going the way it's going, if you're talking about the numbers that, you know, guys that were, you know, coming to be premier players,
the cost
this
of
last
a total
year.
Contract.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And think about it, too, from just like the AAV. Like, let's just assume Cam Smith turns into a good player. Let's say good, not great. Let's be fair and conservative with the conversation. Cam Smith turns into a good, not great player. He's a free agent at the end. Let's see. We're in 25, 25, 26, 27, 28, 29, 30. So you have him under club control through 30, would be a free agent going into the 31 season. Mm-hmm. Let's just assume, okay, he enters free agency after the 2030 season. What is a good corner outfielder going to get market value?
Probably good, not great.
Yeah.
Probably 40 a year.
Okay. I was going to say like 20, 25, but whatever. Like, so if it's in that range.
It's based on how good
40 is more great, right?
Yeah.
But let's just, like, that's the range. Like, okay, depending on his actual value in production, he's going to be in the range of $20 to $40 million, depending on how good he is. The Astros just peed that down their leg because of the first 51 games for Cam Smith, who, again, has been solid. We like what we see as a rookie. We like the promise. He's a 95 OPS plus guy, and the Astros just peed down their leg a $20 to $40 million valuation on a player.
It
was not a good decision.
Soto's great, right?
Soto's great.
Yeah, and Soto went way over 40.
Yeah, he got.
That's what I'm saying. By the time years from now, 40 should factor in as a good outfielder.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot of money to walk away from.
Like, if you put it into the financial value as well, the Astros, because they called Cam Smith up with his 95 OPS plus and a 1.1 WAR, which is good for a rookie. No one's dogging Cam here. Mm-hmm. This is actually a dogging Dana for calling him up too early. Because if you think that Cam's going to be a good player, you're just throwing away $25 million in evaluation for a player. I do like the trade, Israel. I think it's a great point. I do like the trade, the Kyle Tucker trade. I was a proponent of it at the time. I was making TikToks in Disneyland applauding Dana Brown. I think you were a fan of it too.
Big time.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. So we were fans of I don't want to say getting rid of Tucker, of trading Tucker for valuable assets before he left you for free.
Yeah, doing what you weren't willing to do in the past, which is admit you weren't going to resign Kyle Tucker. And so cutting your losses by also adding to what you could add to from the roster, and you got three Major League Baseball players.
Yeah, we all like the trade. So I agree with you, Israel. We agree with you that we like what Dana Brown did in terms of the Kyle Tucker trade. He brought up the other point about spring training numbers. I'm a believer that you should never be making radical decisions. And yes, this was radical because the guy's a year removed from college baseball. He's a year removed away from playing in the postseason tournament. Did they go to Omaha last year? I can't remember. I don't remember if they're a year away from playing in Omaha. So it was a radical decision. Sometimes radical decisions can be just fine. But spring training numbers should never, ever lead to a radical decision for a general manager. Spring training numbers are almost meaningless.
Remember how we were trying to calculate how many of the pitchers that he actually hit bombs off of were actually major league pitchers?
We did.
Yeah, because of the fact that guys are trying to make the team. You have split squad games. You have so many different variables that are going in as teams evaluate their own talent that it's the Kelvin Cato effect of you're going to reward a guy for getting big numbers in spring training, and it's going to bite you in the butt more so than it's going to succeed if that's the way you do business. And we were trying to figure out like how many major league pitchers he had success over all the hits and all the home runs that he hit in spring training.
I remember when everybody was banging the table for Justin Dearden to break camp with the Astros because he had that big spring training. What was it, 3 years ago? Mm-hmm. Dude's out of baseball now. Spring training numbers are almost meaningless. Brandon T, I have a feeling Israel thinks he never loses an argument. No, Israel will concede defeat. I believe in Israel. Israel, kill that narrative. Concede defeat. Concede that you'll sometimes take an L. Is Israel Cam's agent? Maybe. I need Israel to be my agent, though. I love the way he defends Cam. I'm a big fan of it. All right, 713-780-ESPN. People have thoughts on this. They're divided, it looks like. It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5.
When it comes to accidental injury cases in Harris County, there's one law firm that files nearly three times as many cases than any other firm, and that's Daspit Law Firm. Why? Because they're the best at what they do, getting their clients the compensation they deserve for injuries they've wrongfully suffered in an accident. Lance Zierlein here, and if you suffered an injury in an accident and you would like a free case review, call John Daspit now, 713-CALL-NOW. That's 713-CALL-NOW or visit DaspitLaw.com.
If you're living with diabetes and using insulin, you know the pain of pricking your fingers over and over again. Ouch! Well, by wearing a small remote device called a continuous glucose monitor, or CGM, you can reduce the pain of pricking your fingers. If you administer insulin three or more times per day or use an insulin pump, call now and learn how a CGM can help you.
Painless. No more pricking my finger.
No finger pricks.
Convenience. They delivered it free and they took care of all the paperwork.
You can reduce pain right away. Plus, it's accurate, easy to use, and helps you spend more time in range. And if you have insurance, you can get a new CGM at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Call now and get free shipping of your new CGM. Plus, we'll bill your insurance for you. 800-451-4785. 800-451-4785. 800-451-4785. That's 800-451-4785.
Chastain Ford is the place to go if you're in the market for a Ford. Their professional staff will provide you with an outstanding truck buying experience. They offer competitive pricing and an extensive selection of new and used Ford vehicles. From the sales staff to the finance team, their knowledgeable and friendly staff are devoted to helping you find the perfect Ford for your needs. Chastain Ford also offers exclusive incentives and deals to get the most out of your purchase. Whether looking for a truck or SUV, Chastain Ford is the perfect place to find your dream Ford.
Do you own a timeshare? Well, face the facts. You made a mistake. You made a bad purchase. A timeshare is not an investment. It's a money pit that continues forever. If you use your timeshare, that's great. But if you don't and you want to legally get out of your contract, call my friends right now at the Timeshare Exit Hotline. They're an experienced team of lawyers who help good people like you get out of a timeshare contract that they just don't want. Don't throw away your money on maintenance fees. Use it for things you really want. We can help you end your timeshare contract and stop the money drain immediately. If you're ready to move on with your timeshare, call our team right now.
Call today for your complimentary free consultation. 800-403-8539. 800-403-8539. 800-403-8539. That's 800-403-8539.
Listen on the go with the ESPN 97.5 app. Just search ESPN 97.5 and download today. Now back to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. Israel's texting in. My take is trash can emoji. Israel also says, I don't want you to agree with me. I disagree with you. I don't want you to like him. We don't care. I like Cam Smith. I like Cam Smith so much that I'm trying to commit another year of my life with Cam Smith. That's how much I like Cam, is I'm trying to commit another year of my life with the guy. And you're saying I don't like him. Israel, that's not fair of you, Israel. It's certainly possible that if Cam wasn't brought up in the first 50 games, he might have just been left in the minors for the rest of the year. I do not believe that. If you had the current outfield situation, Cam was a guy who almost, like, again, we're playing the alternate scenario here, was a guy that almost made the team out of spring training. You're going to tell me they wouldn't have called him up for the entire year? I just can't believe that.
So my question for you, because I'm not up to speed on all this, and I know it doesn't surprise you, but
Yeah, that's not fair. It does surprise me. You're up to speed with a lot of stuff.
But I say tongue-in-cheek. But from the standpoint of team control, is there a hard deadline for all players, or does everybody's contract change the deadline for team control? Because, like, if I'm the Red Sox, if Roman Anthony, if I'm bringing him up now and I have to pay him the extra year, now it would be even more ridiculous to me, or Caglione or guys like that. Because of the fact that now you didn't even get the first 50-some games or 60-some games. Now you're right up almost to the deadline. Why would you do it?
Well, I think that it's late enough.
Okay, that's what I was going to say.
I think it's late enough.
I didn't know if it was like
usually teams will do it like mid-June,
mm-hmm.
but June 1st is usually enough.
Okay.
Yeah. So, like, it makes some sense that they waited on Anthony.
Because I watched Roman Anthony last night, and he made a costly error in that game too, and I'm going – man, at this point, I don't know what the cutoff was or anything like that. But, I mean, if he's going to be what everybody thinks he's going to be, that's a guy you definitely want to save the year on.
Yeah. He made an error last night.
He did. That's what I was just to say. Right. I watched it, and I was like, oh, that's – and he basically sided the ball. He didn't try and field it in front of him, and it went all the way to the wall, and I was like, that's not a good play.
They don't love his – well, I shouldn't say they. His defense isn't something that, like, many people write home about. It's more.
I think Caglione was 4-for-4 last night.
Did he go 4-for-4?
Yeah.
That guy's just, look what the Royals did. The Royals might have called him up a little bit too soon, but it's always kind of like in a weird spot. People are texting, tweeting. I don't care about service time manipulation. That's a reason that players leave. See, people always point to George Springer. Like, the reason that George Springer left was because the Astros manipulated his service time. Is there a reported offer that the Astros gave for George Springer? Because I'm of the belief that if the Astros gave George Springer the exact same contract the Blue Jays gave him, I believe he would be a Houston Astro. So unless you can point to a reported contract offer of the Astros that they gave to George Springer that's at least similar to Toronto, you're not going to hit me with the, well, he left because his service time was manipulated. No, I think he left because the Astros didn't offer him a contract.
Yeah, no, they definitely weren't even going to get into a competition or a bidding war about his services. I think that one was pretty much set in stone. But I know that early on there was that discussion when they were so bad about, because everybody was watching every move he made about, mm-hmm. you know, when they brought him up.
A tweeter, I like my team not screwing its players. See, I get that, actually. Like, I understand that sentiment. Like, hey, if the guy's ready, bring him up. Don't take advantage of the young player. Like, I totally understand that. But this is a cutthroat business where games are won and lost in the margins, and I'm worried about my job and my team winning as many games as possible. And I believe that if you look at the Astros over the next 6 years, I believe that the Astros win more total games in the alternate reality that I'm presenting, where you wait to call up Cam Smith, that way you get the extra year, than you would have just living the scenario we are now. So that's why, yes, I agree that it is screwing the players. At the same time, like, they're waiting 3 months to get a six-figure contract. Like, how much poor are we going to call on the player? How much woe is me are we giving to the player? So, like, I get it, but I just don't agree with it.
I think at a certain point, if you're not the Yankees or the Dodgers, and the Dodgers probably more so right now, and you just don't care about that kind of stuff, and you have money growing on trees literally all over the place with all the different ways that you can pay players – you have to understand how hardcore it is when they say it's a business. And yeah, you don't want to screw over your players, but at the same time, you have to do what's best for not just the financial, but the production level of the team that you are in charge of. Or at the end of the day, it's going to bite you in the ass personally, and it's going to bite the organization in the ass over the long haul.
When the owner employs you, is the owner telling you, hey, make sure the player is happy, or is the owner telling you your goal is to win as many games as possible?
Right.
So I have to try to achieve that goal. My goal is not, okay, well, this guy should be up. He's probably one of our best 26 players. That's not my goal. I'm sorry, it's not.
And you know that Crane, as being such a shrewd businessman in his professional career, you know that's exactly what he wants out of his general managers. And if you're a you know, someone like, you know, when you're in charge of the Dodgers, you realize they might not care as much and they might be able to do things where they'll deal with that when it comes to it and not have to blink an eye about it because of all the network, the TV deals they have and all the different things that they have in their favor that a lot of the other teams don't have the liberty and the access to.
Texter, you know, if he wins Rookie of the Year, they get a first-round pick. I do know that. And I will concede that bringing him up on opening day gives him a much better chance to win Rookie of the Year than if they brought him up today. Do we think Cam Smith's winning Rookie of the Year, A? And then B, do we think who do we think has a better chance to win Rookie of the Year? Cam Smith or that Jack Caglione guy that they just brought up from Kansas City? I think the odds say him.
If he did have four hits last night, and he is supposed to be a combination of like Aaron Judge, Mike Trout, and all these things, if he lives up to billing. But you know, assuming he gets enough at-bats, he's up for the long haul now and that he continues to roll, yeah, he probably has a better chance. And he's going to get all the exposure in the world. Everybody's watching everything he does. Most people don't know who Cam Smith is that are casual baseball fans. And a lot of guys in baseball don't know who he is.
Yeah, I will concede that calling Cam Smith up opening day gives him a better chance of winning Rookie of the Year than calling him up today. I would counter that point by saying it's not going to matter. Texter, I believe Springer received a 6-year, $150 million deal. You are correct. Now, show me where the Astros offered that. And then tell me that he didn't choose the Astros, who didn't give him an offer, because the Astros manipulated his service time in 2014. It's a straw man argument. What upsets me about this conversation, what makes the Astros front office and owner sometimes so pathetic, is the fact that we have to act like we have no other choices than pinch pennies. I think it's a fair point. Now, I don't think that I wouldn't call Crane cheap. I'd call him more frugal.
Savvy.
Maybe that's the best.
Yeah, I think he's business savvy in the fact that he understands, like, he's still going to do, if he just gets a gut feeling and a wild hair and decides, I want to go spend on someone with a big name, like a Verlander in the past or a Hader. But at the same time, over the long haul, he wants to be as resourceful as he can possibly be when it comes to running his baseball team.
Texter, why are you going on and on about Cam Smith for 51 games? Won't he be up for the whole season? Yes, he'll be up the whole season this year, but because they called him up at the beginning of season and didn't wait, the Astros will lose his club control in 2031. Well, why do you care about 2031, Brandon? Well, do you want a good player on your team in 2031, or do you not want a good player on your team in 2031?
Let's also be honest in terms of, we said Caglione, but Jacob Wilson's right now,
yeah,
he's going to be the Rookie of the Year from Oakland.
Yeah, he's been really good.
Yeah, I mean, over his last 36 games, he's hitting .407.
I actually took a little deep dive on Jacob Wilson yesterday. He has the weirdest profile that I can remember. Like, he's got a terrible, like, he swings at everything. Mm-hmm. He rarely walks. His power is not great. It's like he hits for some power, but not great power. Not even good power, just some power. And he has one of the slowest bat speeds in all of baseball. Like, it's insane to me that one of the slowest bat speeds in all of baseball is he leading the league in batting average? I think he is.
Right now,
it might be behind Judge.
Overall, he's batting his splits are 372, 408, 528, 8 bombs, 5 stolen bases in 63 games, has 23 extra base hits, and 16 strikeouts.
He's weird. He's kind of like a little Luis Arises a little bit, where he doesn't hit for tons of power, never walks, but like never, ever strikes out. It hits for a very high batting
average.
He's behind Judge.
Not a great fielder, but he made an error against the Astros, but then he came back and hit a bomb.
Yeah, it sounds right. I heard the general manager talk about whenever they had the draft, and they're like, you know, I can't remember what pick they had. It was like fourth or fifth, and they thought it was whatever pick that they had, they thought it was like a top three player draft. Like, I think they might have had the fifth pick and they thought there was four good players. Or they might have had the fourth pick and thought there was three great players. And they were on the clock and they're like, okay, well, you know, well, I'm sure they had these conversations before they're on the clock, but you get my point. So they felt like, okay, all the great players are already gone. We knew that was going to be the case. This is a guy who might not have the highest ceiling, but he has a very high floor and he does some things that are incredibly elite, like contact. Like not striking out. They didn't think he was like a great athlete. They didn't think he was a great defender. But, you know, it goes to show you sometimes that the floor can be the roof. Please read this text on air. Israel is the biggest idiot out there. Seriously, moron. I sent this text originally on May 22nd, resending now. We're not going to read that on the air. Nice try. Like, you thought we were going to read that on the air. Who do you think I am, a fool? But the 1 year helps develop him faster to be the guy. It's not 1 year. You're missing the timeline. It would have been a few months. the season started what? It started early April, April 1st, somewhere around there is usually when the season started. So you're looking at April, May, and parts of June. You're not even looking at 3 months. You're looking at 2.5 months. And in fact, you can make the case that maybe he needed a little bit more seasoning in the minors.
And maybe he comes up with more confidence, a better concept of the strike zone when he does get called up, and maybe he starts off on a hot streak instead of struggles the way he struggled when he was here early on.
Did the Astros call up Cam Smith too soon? Was it a mistake that he was on the opening day roster? 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. First, I'm going to tell you about the greatness that is Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They're fantastic. We were out there a few weeks ago. Went out there after a Friday show. Got there in no time. It says 90 minutes from Houston. I feel like I was there quicker, but maybe I drive fast. But if you're looking to escape the rat race, the hustle and bustle of the stress, the anxiety, whatever, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort. They're fantastic. Got out there late on a Friday, hung out, woke up Saturday, explored the 92 acres of property they have out there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Took the kids out to the catch and release pond. Checked out the creeks there, which is great for fishing. They had a food truck out there when we were there. They had live music. You're going to love your time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. It doesn't take all the time to get there either. Like, you're not loading up the car for a five-hour trek. You're not worrying about TSA and the airport. You're going to be there in 90 minutes. You're going to start your vacation quick. So stop wasting your vacation time, your rest and relaxation time, by traveling all day. No, get out to Two Creeks Crossing Resort in 90 minutes. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book that stay right now at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. The open green spaces, the wildlife, beautiful, majestic trees, and some of the best fishing that you're going to find in the Lone Star State. You can't beat it. I mentioned the 92 acres of property. You can kayak. They have pickleball courts there, too, if you're a pickleball enthusiast. Or you can just hang out by the pool all day. There's nothing wrong with that as well. Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors and always searching for ways to do that. From the glamping to cabins. We stayed in the treehouse. Treehouse was awesome. Or pull up the RV. They have the perfect stay for everybody. And also right now, incredible savings are in store this summer. For during June and July, you book 5 nights, you're saving 35%. So what are you waiting for? Head to twocreekscrossingresort.com right now. Book your stay. It's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey parents, Jeremy Branham here. Want to transform your driveway into a pro-level court? Pro Dunk basketball goals are the real deal. Their revolutionary lightning adjust system lets you change heights in seconds, from regulation 10 feet down to 5 feet so the whole family can play. Build commercial-grade materials that stand up to Houston weather. Get your kids off those screens and onto the court. Pro Dunk, the choice of serious ballers. Visit ProDunk.com today. That's ProDunk.com.
For over 50 years, Allstate Windows and Siding has helped homeowners reduce outdoor noise, enhance the appearance, and increase the energy efficiency of their homes. Call at 832-204-1936 or visit AllstateWindowsAndSiding.com to schedule an appointment today.
Sell your house in the most simplest way, greenlightoffer.com.
Houston is Soccer City USA, and World Cup 2026 is coming our way. Join me, Glenn Davis, every Tuesday and Wednesday, 6 Central Time, for Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5, presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Hi, this is Harold Gunn.
And this is Bill Olson. Texas Outdoor News is the longest-running, most award-winning outdoor radio show in the state for a lot of good reasons.
We bring you the latest news and information about hunting and fishing across our great state and beyond.
And our guests are who's who from industry, government, and the field.
Texas Outdoor News is brought to you by Ford Trucks and your best in Texas Ford dealers. Join us Saturday mornings at 6, Sunday at 7 on ESPN 97.5.
John Granato here for Game Day Health. Are you feeling lethargic, having issues in the bedroom? How about weight gain, muscle loss, even brain fog? You may have low testosterone. Game Day Men's Health are the experts in testosterone replacement therapy, ED, and weight management strategies. They can help you get back to feeling and performing better. With 5 locations, 15 more on the way, book a free testosterone test today at GameDayMen'sHealth.com. That's GameDayMen'sHealth.com.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
713-780-ESPN. I want Israel's thoughts on DeCinzo. Israel, let us know what you think of Zach DeCinzo. Pena is the next face of the franchise, not Cam. About that. Pena's has got two more years after this one.
Yeah.
I don't think Pena's going to be an Astro after this year plus
well,
two.
I mean, if this is the new Jeremy Pena, you're probably right. I don't know that they are going to be in the boat again.
It's too late.
Yeah, and I think that you might end up more so with another situation like Kyle Tucker.
Pena's a reason. That's interesting. So this year, next year, trade him in the offseason. Yep. I don't hate it.
Yep. I think that's something where you have – look, if that's your line in the sand, if that's where you're at as a franchise and we just got done talking about it, then the new norm is going to be that if you don't feel comfortable, then do something reactionary that's going to help you in the long haul if you're not willing to commit to that into the short term.
Yeah, I believe in being consistent with it too. Like if you're going to do it for Tucker, I think you need to do it for all players. I guess the exception there could be Fromber, though.
Right. I mean, every player in every situation is different, right? How you feel about him might be different, or that certain player and his potential to be and continue to be that might be different for one player than the other. But if organizationally, the same way we knew forever and a day, they're not into 10-year contracts, they're not into spending hundreds of millions of dollars, well, then before you get to the standpoint of the crossroads where you get left holding your – you know, holding your pants going, what's going to happen next as they move on and you get nothing for them, then set the standard that, hey, if we don't feel like we agree with what your asking price is, thanks for being here. We're going to move on and get some players for you while we can.
Yeah. Yeah. It's why I believe in signing players early. Like I wouldn't have hated if they signed Pena whenever Granato was calling him Mauricio Dubon. You're calling him Adam Everett. Remember that?
Yeah, I do. Yeah. And it is a very risky proposition for the times that you swing and miss. And you commit. It's not quite John Singleton, because John Singleton now doesn't look like that bad of a deal, although it was bad at the time for the organization, 10 years, 10 mil.
Now, they did Singleton before he was ever up. Mm-hmm. And, like, I like to lump Singleton into all the other contracts they did at the time. Like, they signed Altuve to an incredibly team-friendly deal. They signed Bregman, where they bought out 2 years of free agency. So you can point to Singleton, which is fair. But that was only costing you $1 million a year. Meanwhile, Jose Altuve won an MVP on the friendliest player contract to win an MVP in the history of the
game.
That's
why I bring it up and say, you know, from a Cheerios perspective, Milwaukee or Seattle looks like they did it the right way with J-Rod. You have the pros and the cons. You have the shortstop from Tampa that turned out to be a disaster after you committed all the money.
Did you get that money back, though. You don't have to pay them.
Is that
they don't have to pay Wander because he breach of contract
from insurance perspective.
Well, no, I think it's breach. I don't think they owe him a dime. Okay. I don't think it's the insurance
because I don't know that money. He's been convicted yet. So I think it's still in limbo.
Probably, yeah.
But now he also got caught with a gun.
But like I don't know if you have to pay him while it's in limbo. But whatever, that's neither here
right,
nor there.
But I'm just saying because Tampa's a franchise that they don't have all the financial means all the time and they're not willing to spend it. Like you're going to do that, and if it backfires on you, now you hope you can get out of the contract, and then you have to try and do it again. Where you miss is where it can be detrimental, though I understand it. Like, you know, if you have the really good talent evaluators, more times than not, you should be able to hit on it and save your franchise a boatload of money.
Yeah. See, Pena, it would have been good to do Pena this past offseason, where it's like, oh, I still feel a little uncomfortable doing it, not sure what the player he's going to be. But now that he's off to this start, he's going to be an all-star, he's going to have a top three MVP finish if he keeps this up. It was too late. Now it's too late.
See, and that's the
thing. Why the fine line is tough, and that's why you always have to trust your evaluation. If you're Dana Brown, you're like, Pena's going to be great. Then sign him before it becomes great. If Dana's telling you that Cam Smith's going to be great, sign him before he becomes great.
Well, also, from the standpoint of Pena, if he just was who he's been before this kind of breakout season, you probably still would have come out okay.
You come out with a major league starting caliber shortstop.
Yeah. At the higher level of what you're paying a major league caliber shortstop. But nonetheless, you've got him locked down now. You locked up and you're in a good spot. But if you lock him up when you did and thinking that he's just going to be that and now he does this, now you're in a windfall.
No, it's too late. It's too late. Like it's probably more likely they do what you just said, where you keep him this year, next year, trade him going into his final year than it is they re-sign him.
And I think if you'd have said, would Jeremy Pena have taken that deal before this breakout season, And would he have taken it going into the season or previously? I think that he absolutely would have. Now he'd be stupid to.
Probably. Yeah. I mean, it's tough to know everything, but if I had to just go one side or the other, I would say, yeah, I would agree with you. I like Cam. Is this a trolling text? I like Cam. He's young. He's got a lot to learn still. His smile when he's out in the field of play brings a lot of kids to the park to dream big. I hope that's not a real text.
I don't think you're paying him on his smile.
I'm not sure I want people that are thinking that way to listen to our show. I'm just kidding. Everybody can listen to the show. Manipulating service time like Springer's, why the players don't want to sign extensions. Altuve signed an extension. Bregman signed an extension. Yordan signed an extension. Javier signed an extension. Ooh. Lance McCullers signed an extension. Ooh. I feel like all that talk is cheap until you turn down a contract that either A is paying you big money or B is going to pay you more money than anything you're being offered. If George Springer would have been offered more money than the Toronto offer, would George Springer be an Astro?
Yes.
If the Astros offered George Springer 160 for six, would he sign with Houston or would he sign with Toronto for 150 and six?
Houston.
What if it was even?
Houston.
I think so too. That's why I think it's Springer left because he was mad about their service time manipulation. No, he left because Toronto gave him the best offer.
That's right.
Straw man argument. Brandon T, I would rather have the extra year of Cam. Potential is definitely there. He hasn't been that big of a game changer IMO. Not yet. And we hope that he will be, which is why it makes sense to wait a little bit. It seems foolish to think Smith would not have the same numbers his first 50 games of the big. Start him on the learning curve now. And who else plays right field these first 50 games? It would have been DeZinzo. DeZinzo would be a right fielder.
Well, I think they would have started with Chaz.
Chaz would have been in the mix. And don't forget, if we're playing the scenario where Cam Smith doesn't make the team, you have your left-handed bat. Because Ben Gamel would have made the team.
Yeah, they wouldn't have released him.
Ben Gamel was let go. Ben Gamel, in my opinion, was the final cut on this team, and they kept Cam Smith over him. Which I think Cam Smith's a better player than Ben Gamel. Don't get me wrong. But can you survive the first 60 games of the season with Gamel and then call up Cam to get the extra year? Yes, and that's the point.
Yes, and we don't know what Ben Gamel would have been, but the way he played at the end of last season, you think he'd been serviceable enough that you could get by. Now, would you still be three games up in first place in the division?
How many more wins do you have with Cam as opposed to Gamel? In a platoon. It wouldn't be just Gamel. It'd probably be Gamel, Chaz, DeZinzo in the mix.
Maybe two or three.
Yeah, I would say one or two. But, I mean, that's the same ballpark. Key from LA, would you be feeling that way if Cam Smith was a pitcher? I would feel this way no matter what. Like, I fundamentally believe in this, especially for a team that does not have a history of re-signing their own players.
I just think that most people, when you're just doing it from a return on investment possibility standpoint, most people would lean on the fact that you play it conservative, you leave him in AAA until you reach the deadline point, and then you take the risk that you are going to cash in by getting that extra year. I just think that's most people's rational decision-making on it from a business perspective.
No, good question here. What war would you need to see to make it worth it for Cam Smith at this point? Like, because I don't think it's worth it. You thought it was worth it. What war do I need to see for this to be worth it? I'll answer that on the other side. More people have some thoughts on it. 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
This is the NBA Finals.
SGA, a long three on its way, and good for the NBA's MVP.
The Thunder respond and tie the Pacers at one. Now the series shifts to Indianapolis.
If you're Indiana, there's no need to panic. You got one. You came there to get one, and you got one.
Game 3 coverage begins Wednesday night at 7 right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
John Granata here with Yanni Damaris from Damaris Barbecue. How many all-you-can-eat ribs can I eat?
As many ribs as you could possibly eat, John. I'm really not worried about you. I would want you to come in and get that.
It's unlimited.
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 All you can eat.
And you got two different ribs, right?
I do. Baby backs and the spare ribs.
You got the sweet sauce on the baby backs?
The baby backs are sweet and spicy. and they're really, really good.
Damaris Barbecue, two locations. One's on 610 and 18th Street. The other's at Shepherd, just north of West Alabama. Or you can order ahead at Damaris.com.
Suit Mart has Father's Day gifts that fit every dad and every budget. Right now, grab cargo shorts for just $19.99 and dress shirts starting at $5.99. New sneakers and casual shoes take 20% off over 2,000 fresh pairs. And don't miss out on 20% off sport coats and blazers. Restrictions apply. Plus, two-piece shorts and pants sets. Sunglasses, two for $16, and markdowns on men's sportswear. Suit Mart. Dress dad in style this Father's Day. Hurry in. These deals won't last.
It's midnight in Houston, and Bob just can't sleep. The AC is broken, and he can't count the sheep. Don't worry, big man. You don't need to scream. We can fix your AC with the help of Air Team. They'll come to your place, fix it up without a trace. Trust the ultimate fan with the paint on his face.
Is your air conditioner not performing at a pro level? Call Air Team, H-Town's HVAC team. The best heating and air conditioning installation services. 713-936-5346 or visit airteamltd.com.
Dr. Joseph Malosky here with Rise Health. Need a quick fix for your ED? We have the solution, a rapid dissolving strip that slips under your tongue, dissolves in seconds, ready to work in minutes. These little discreet strips fit in your pocket and they're on your schedule. Convenient, portable power that lasts up to 36 hours. No pharmacy lines, no face-to-face doctor visits, no planning required. Visit RIIZEhealth.com and simplify your life with Rise.
Attention, fellow conservative investors. What does the name Reagan mean to you? It stands for being the ultimate conservative. It also stands for the Reagan Gold Group. Do you see storm clouds approaching? The stock market hates uncertainty, and there are plenty of reasons to be concerned. High inflation, unstable debt, and economic uncertainty are just a few. You have car insurance, homeowners insurance, and life insurance. But do you have insurance for your retirement savings and your 401k? We urge all fellow conservative investors to learn about the one asset that could help ensure your nest egg doesn't crack under economic pressure. G-O-L-D, gold. Call the one name any conservative investor needs to know about. Reagan Gold Group.
800-414-1657. 800-414-1657. 800-414-1657. That's 800-414-1657.
McGrath Pest Control, basically hired killers. See their killing menu at McGrathPestControl.com.
Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. What war would Cam Smith have to justify to be called up now? See, because the Astros have been good. I'm not sure that there's... I don't really think I would change my mind on this. Like, he would almost have to put up Pena numbers for me to change my mind on this. Because, again, you're getting Cam Smith today. You call him up today. You missed 2.5 months. I think the Astros would have been able to sustain their position. Maybe not in first place, but maybe, like, right in the ballpark. Either, you know, a game up, a game down, somewhere in there. And then you're getting Cam Smith. So, like, you're not missing the entire year. You're missing 2.5 months. So, it would have to be something very, very high in order for me to say the Astros made the right call.
And then when you think about, again, hypothetically, because we don't know, but you think about what his WAR number would be in the prime of his career at the end of the deal and how much greater it would be than what you would need right now. And you would like to think that if he becomes the player that they traded for that they believe he's going to be, his WAR would be through the roof.
If you compare Cam's numbers to Altuve, Springer, Bregman, Correa, et cetera, I don't know how that's pertinent. We're not comparing Cam versus those players. We're comparing Cam having 2.5 months
or 3 years.
Or
making a business decision.
Or 1 year. Yeah, it's not. I don't know why that's pertinent. Rocky, guys, seriously, you guys are being petty over 1 year of service. Big deal. What's the big deal? Serious question. I mean, we're just talking about having the best teams possible.
We also put it in monetary results for you. I mean, in monetary terms, it could be a big deal to the tune of, what did we say, $25 to $40 million,
yeah, depending on his talent level at that time. What's your window looking like in 2031? Likely not as open as it is now. Would that be fair? See, I think I'm of the opinion that you can always sustain a winner in baseball. There's been many teams who have been good for a very long time. Yankees, I think, have had one losing season. I think the Yankees have never had a losing season this century. Now, they're big market, get it. Dodgers are good every single year, big market, get it. Rays are pretty dang solid every year. Milwaukee's pretty dang solid every year. Mm-hmm. Now, are you going to be the market of New York and L.A.? No. But are you going to be the market of Milwaukee and Tampa? No. Is there a happy medium there? Probably. Texture, I hope to be here in 2031. You and me both, brother.
You nailed it. Yankees haven't had a losing record since 1992.
Yeah, you can sustain winning in baseball. Now, how do you do it? I think what Dana Brown did with Kyle Tucker. You continue to move players for other players. Those players produce. And then when it's their turn to come up in free agency, you trade those players.
Yeah, but I also think, like you said, the Yankees Dodgers are like in a on a different level all by themselves, because for a long time the Yankees had the best team, the Yankees and the Dodgers, but the Yankees specifically had the best team money could buy.
Sure.
And then Cashman kind of changed his ways recently.
No, that's why I brought up the Milwaukee Tampa points,
sure,
too.
Right, right,
like
right.
Milwaukee's usually a winner. Tampa's usually a winner. Now, can you have the markets of New York and LA? No. Crane's not going to be the market of New York and LA. But can you have a bigger market in Milwaukee and Tampa and always have a payroll that's competitive with the luxury tax? Yes. Mm-hmm. And if you do that, I think you can have a sustained winner. That's why I don't like the window talk. Yordan's going to be gone. So what? Yordan wasn't here in 2017 when they won the World Series. Oh, well, Correa's. Well, who cares? They won the World Series after Correa. The greatness of the Astros is not an individual player, except for maybe Altuve. It's the Houston Astros. It's the machine that they built. The name on the front, more important than the name on the back. Why have the Astros been great for so long? Because they are the Astros. There's only two players that were here in 17 that are still here. But they've continued winning. Why? Because they're shrewd. They're smart. They make good decisions. Now, did moving on from Click kind of, slow that down a bit? Yeah, probably did. Can Dana Brown pick it back up? I'm hopeful that he can.
I think Cleveland's also an example of a team that just
low
finds
budget.
A way to low-budgetly win the division or make the playoffs and have sustained winning seasons.
And I don't want to be them.
No,
I want to be
not fun.
Well, I mean, they're winning
a lot.
When
you've experienced what the Astros have experienced.
I think you can be in the middle of them, though, and always be a winner.
I mean, I can just tell you from the standpoint of everybody that's back home, the frustration with the Brewers is at a certain point it gets old that you have to just accept that, hey, we won the division, or hey, we made the playoffs, or hey, we bounced. We made it. We didn't make it as far as we wanted to. At a certain point, there is the desire to take it further.
Well, sure, sure. But do I think that because they're a low payroll team that they like lost Game 7 to the NLCS? No, they came up a little short that year. Tampa's been in two World Series, and again, I'm not saying that you need to have a payroll of those two teams. Have a big payroll, not astronomical. Sorry for the pun. You don't need to be New York. You don't need to be LA. You don't need to be Milwaukee. You don't need to be Tampa on the other end of the spectrum. Be close to the competitive balance tax, have a good little roster turnover, but always be bringing in talent, however you're bringing in talent, whether it's drafting good, whether it's shrewd free agent signings, whether it's trading Kyle Tucker in the final year of his deal. Brother Dana going to pay Cam? I hope you're right, Israel. I hope he does pay Cam. If you guys are worrying about 31 and 25, then we've got way bigger problems. It's baseball talk. Like, everybody talks about this.
Brother Dana.
Brother Dana. I like that nickname for him, though.
I was just going to say, that could Brother be that, that's the nickname. Not, Brother Dana GM.
I'm not sure that we could pull it off the way Israel can.
No.
Yeah. Tyler in the row, they absolutely brought up Cam too early. I feel bad for Cam because the little worm Swabby decided he would use him to farm engagement. It is now a lightning rod on Astros. We called Swabby a little
a
worm?
Worm.
Why is Swabby a little worm there, Tyler in the row? It's a little harsh for Swabby.
It's a little slimy.
It's a little slimy. What point is Bryce Matthews the everyday second baseman with Altuve at the DH? Well, I don't know if Altuve is ever going to be the DH because you have Yordan. But I'll rephrase the question. What point is Bryce the everyday second baseman with Altuve in left?
Well, Bryce could be your answer to the question of who's going to be the shortstop when Jeremy Peña gets traded.
I think he's full time. I don't know if they like him defensively at short. I think he's your second baseman of the future.
Okay.
I think we could see Bryce as soon as this year. Now he needs to cut down on the strikeouts. He's striking out way too much. I think he's in play this season. Mm-hmm. I don't think it'd be before trade deadline. I think they'll see how that goes. If I had to bet, I wouldn't say this year, but I do think it's in play.
I think next year it's definitely in play if he continues. You're right. The strikeouts have been a bit of a concern, but the fact that he hits consistently, he hits some pop. I think because of the fact that you're seeing Rodgers and Dubon and everybody that they're rotating through at second base, I think starting next season he could be there at second base.
I think you could see it as soon as August 1st. If you swing and miss, pardon the pun, at the trade deadline and you're looking for offensive spark and he's not striking out as much as he has been, and Dubon and Rodgers are still giving you nothing offensively, I think that's his avenue this year. But there's a lot of ifs there. Corey, could putting Cam on the opening day roster have been Dana saying, hey, all three players we got for Tucker are contributing day one? See, I hate if they did that, because now you're putting your perception or the way people are looking at the trade ahead of the overall team gain. So I really hope that's not the case.
And even though I've been the one that's always quick to point out, general managers want to be right as much as possible, so they are going to give guys that they drafted or acquired every opportunity to succeed so that they can be right. I think that even any general manager in that situation would be completely wrong if you did that and tried to force feed him to start his career faster than he should have. Because you can be right as long as he turns out to be a good Major League Baseball player.
Yeah, I hope that's not the case. I hope that Dana was like, yeah, he's just easily our best right fielder and we're going to put the best nine on the field. Which, I mean, that's a fair argument. I'm not going to say he was wrong. I think he's right. I think Cam Smith was the best right fielder at the time. But was the gap between Cam and whoever is splitting time in right field great enough for the extra year? That's where my argument is at. I really hope that was the case, and I'll give Dana the benefit of the doubt there that that was the case. A texter, Cam's mom was only available on opening day, so they had to call him up then. That's a great day. That was still so cringe, so cheesy. You're doing it in front of Chaz McCormick, who's going to be benched for him. You're doing it in front of Ben Gamel, who gets cut. Actually, I don't know if Ben Gamel was there. I think Gamel might have already been cut. But
nonetheless, if you're going to do that, do it like in the coach's office or do it in like the boardroom. But it is a bit uncomfortable to put him in front of the whole squad.
Yeah, super cringe. All right, is Jeremy Pena going to have the best season from an Astros shortstop ever? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
The best in Houston sports talk is ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
This Father's Day, help Dad be all he can be with a gift from the Home Depot. Because he's not just Dad, he's the handyman of the house. The plumber in a pinch, and the emergency mechanic. Upgrade his gear this Father's Day with the Husky Mechanics 270-piece tool set from the Home Depot. Now on special buy for $119, a $695 value. For every kind of dad,